Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Namo Shivaya Krishna Sadhunaya Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachanane Nirvishesha Shinivani Pasakshayesha Harine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Sivar Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Krishna Bhagavatam 4 chapter 28 verse 48 Uchisto Tishta
Uchisto Tishta
Rajarshe
Rajarshe
Mam
Mam
Dadi
Dadi
Mekalam
Mekalam
Dasyu Vyati Shatra Bandhubhyo
Bandhubhyo
Vivyatim
Vivyatim
Patam
Patam
Arasi
Arasi
Uchisto Tishta Rajarshe
Uchisto Tishta Rajarshe
Imamu Dadi Mekalam
Imamu Dadi Mekalam
Dasyu Vyati Shatra Bandhubhyo
Dasyu Vyati Shatra Bandhubhyo
Vivyatim Patam Arasi
Vivyatim Patam Arasi
Buddhisto Tishta Rajarshe
Buddhisto Tishta Rajarshe
Imamu Udati Vekalam
Imamu Udati Vekalam
Dasyubhya Chakra Bandhubhyo
Dasyubhya Chakra Bandhubhyo
Vipyati Patum Arhasi
Vipyati Patum Arhasi
Buddhisto Tishta Rajarshe
Buddhisto Tishta Rajarshe
Imamu Udati Vekalam
Imamu Udati Vekalam
Chakra
Bandhubhyo
Vipyatim Patum Arhasi
Uttishto Uttishta Rajarshe
Uttishto Uttishta Rajarshe
Imam Udati Mekala
Imam Udati Mekala
Nasibhya Chakra Bandhubhyo
Vipyatim
Patum Arhasi
Uttishto Uttishta Rajarshe
Imam Udati Mekala
Dasyubhya
Chatra Bandhubhyo
Vipyati
Patum Arhasi
Uttishta, please get up. Uttishta, please get up. Rajarshe, saintly king, Imam, this earth, Udati, by the ocean, Kalam, surrounded. Dasyubhya from the rogues, Kshatra Bandhubhya from unclean kings, Vibhyatim, very much afraid, Patum to protect Arhasi, you ought. Translation of Best of Kings, please get up, get up. Just see this world surrounded by water and infested with rogues and so called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her. Wherefore, whenever Acharya comes following the superior orders of the Supreme Personality, God or his representative, he established the principles of religion as enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita. Religion means abiding by the orders of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Religious principles begin from the time one surrenders to the Supreme Personality, Godhead. It is the Acharya's duty to spread a bona fide religious system and induce everyone to bow down before the Supreme Lord. One executes the religious principles by rendering the devotional service, specifically the 9 items like hearing, chanting, and remembering. Unfortunately, when the Acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called Swami, Yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. actually human lives not for executing the orders of the Supreme Lord, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Engage the mind always in thinking of me and become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. Be completely absorbed in me. Surely you will come to me. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of God at all times, to become his devotees, to worship the Supreme Lord, and to bow down before him. The Acharya, the authorized representative of the Lord, establishes these principles. But when he disappears, things once again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the Acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is started to save the world from irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in a solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. Wherefore, just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Wherefore, it is a long-standing tradition of the Vedic system that a faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Saha Manana in India. This system was prevalent even to the day of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by relatives. Formerly, that was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped this practice, considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by two wives, Madhuri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wife settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madhuri would perish with her husband in fire, and Kunti would remain to take charge of the Pandu and children. Even as late as 1936, we saw the Lord wife volunteer to enter the fire of her husband. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. Now, as the Supreme Personality of God comes down upon this earth to reestablish the principles of religion, so as the representative of the spiritual master also comes to reestablish religious principles. It is a duty the disciple should take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and all personal considerations. Well, best of kings, please get up, get up. This world surrounded by water, infested with rogues and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid. It's your duty to protect her. The most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in the solitary forest, thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. So, Parinchana, as the wife of the king, was very faithful. And she served him when he took Vanaprastha and went to the forest. And unfortunately, the king died first. And she was left when he had died. So here we see how she laments, understanding that once the king is dead, someone must continue to protect the earth. Then she voluntarily decided she would also enter the fire. So this, of course, was the system, as we see from descriptions in the scriptures like Mahabharata, where Prabhupada explained that Madhuri died along with Pandu when he was burned, and Kunti remained alive. So that was the custom. So this was the system that was set up. on the principle that the wife could not tolerate existence without the husband, and that after he had disappeared, she had no meaning in her life, which indicates her great attachment. In this way, rather than live with no protector, she would agree to end her life at that point. So that was the system at that time. And, of course, symbolically, as Prabhupada previously pointed out, the king represented the guru, and the wife represented the disciple. So when the disciple, when the guru disappears, then the disciple laments at the passing of the guru, understanding that without such a person, our dharma and other principles will flourish and bhakti will perish. So therefore, the presence of a strong guru is necessary to preserve the principles of bhakti in the material world. And then Prabhupada here remarks that the disciple should remain in order to carry on the teachings and preserve the principles of bhakti. That is his duty after the guru disappears. Of course, we understand from Bhagavad Gita and other works that the disciple's goal in life is simply to serve the order of the spiritual master. And the order of the spiritual master ultimately is simply to serve the Supreme Lord. In other words, to practice bhakti. That's the ultimate order. Though he may give many, many different particular orders, ultimately the order is to serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This the disciple has to do. This is the order to be followed. In other words, the duty of the disciple is to continue his practice of bhakti so he can develop prema. That's the goal in surrendering to the guru. He surrenders to the guru in order to attain Krishna. And the guru gives him the means, and therefore his duty to the guru is to attain Krishna by performing bhakti. So that is a simple principle. And when the guru is alive, he teaches this by speaking and by his example. And when he disappears, then the disciple simply has to continue the same process with the conviction he will attain the goal. So that is the ideal disciple. And Prabhupada previously also mentioned that actually the spiritual master lives in his instruction. He may not be present, and one cannot physically serve him. Still, one serves his order, that is to perform bhakti. And in that sense, he is still alive. So we serve the order of guru, and that way we progress. So this means that ultimately the teachings that the guru give are the most important thing, not the body. So it may be attracted to body for some reason or other, but actually our main attraction should ultimately be the teachings or the orders that are given. And these are the most important thing. This, of course, we also understand from Bhagavad Gita, where in chapter 4, Krishna says simply that he who knows the truth will impart the truth to you. That is his function. He has knowledge and he imparts that knowledge to you. So that is the main function of guru, to give that knowledge. The disciple's duty is to absorb that knowledge, to absorb those instructions, and then practice them. So in this way, the message of the guru is carried on. And in this way, of course, we also get a system of parampara, that the guru passes his knowledge to the disciple practices and attains realization, and he gives that knowledge to others. And then that goes on generation after generation. So in this way, the knowledge is passed on nicely. So if that were not so, then the sampradaya or parampara would be broken. So the system must go on by a continual practice and absorption of those instructions, proper instructions, and then conveying them into the future. So, of course, when the guru disappears, then there is lamentation, as is said here. It's proper that the disciple laments. At the same time, his instructions are there. So one laments because the presence is no longer there and we can no longer get further instructions and clarify our doubts or whatever. But on the other hand, the main instructions are already there. So therefore that value is there and continues in those instructions. So for that, we don't have to lament. Though he has disappeared, the instructions and information and knowledge is already there, so that we don't have to lament. So in this way, we find that the wife, Vaidarbhi, she lamented the parting of her husband, and then she decided she would also enter into the fire, and she would also end her life. But then, of course, we see there is some instructions given later on, and she gets knowledge after this. As far as the allegory is concerned, this whole story is told in order to bring about the appearance of another person who begins teaching Vaidarbhi after this. So in this way we find from the history of Paranjana, he was a materialist in that life, but fortunately in this life, he became a woman and then he got spiritual instructions from the husband. And could advance to some degree. And then finally, she got the darshan of the Supreme Lord in the form of a Brahmana. And then she got further instructions, spiritual instructions. So, in spite of being previously disqualified by material enjoyment, in this lifetime, she became very qualified, got the mercy of the Supreme Lord and devotees, and was able to advance spiritually. So, of course, the bigger story is that Narada Muni is trying to convince Prachinavarishad to give up Karma Kanda and other practices and worship the Supreme Lord. So, that is told through the story of how Paranjana goes from body to body and finally gets enlightenment and of course, ends his fruit of enjoying activities and takes to worship of the Supreme Lord. So that is made clear later by the appearance of the Brahmana who gives instructions to Vaidarbhi.
Wife dying with the husband will not be considered as a suicide.
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 Not a suicide.
Well, in one sense it is because it's voluntary giving up the life, but it's a case that it's permitted. In other words, there's always exceptions to rules. So this is one of them.
Suppose that when a disciple gets attached to, when he starts liking the teachings of his guru, he gets simultaneously affection towards the body of the guru, towards the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a question he should be considered different? He should not. You should only be attached to the instruction and not to the physical body.
Well, as long as the guru is present, one should, there's a scriptural injunction, one should serve that person. And so physically we do service to that guru and his body and whatever like that. So there's no thing that one should not do that. But on the other hand, we should also understand that the body is temporary in any case, so therefore we have to ultimately take shelter of the instructions.
So for the report mentioned that the devotee wife must be prepared to act in this way.
You sati. Well, that was the system they had then. That of course is varnashram dharma. So when people want to institute Varnashram Dharma, then they have to they're expected to do this also, I suppose. But as far as Vaishnavas are concerned, this is not such a prominent feature. So we see in Vaishnava society, this is not emphasized. In Varnashram society, yes. And to the extent that they would force the woman to die with the husband in that system, though it was voluntary. But it's not an obligation in Vaishnava society. Because we understand anyway that the main interest should not be attachment to the husband. Rather, the attachment is to Krishna. So therefore, simply giving up the body for the husband is not such a big deal. That's a materialistic thing. And rather, one should continue to live for Krishna. And that's Krishna consciousness. That's a higher principle. So this, in one sense, shows the limits of certain rules in the Varnashram system, that they are actually bodily rules concerned with family life and whatever else.
Why
would
there be some
teachings, ultimately the one should surrender to Krishna. That's the most important thing. And it may take a particular form or may not take a particular form of distributing books or whatever, or preaching to this person or that person. But ultimately, if one does that, but one forgets the main instruction, that's also useless. So actually the main instruction is the principles of bhakti. That is the main instructions that the Guru gives.
Not in the sky.